I'd like you to take your scriptures this morning and turn, if you will, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15. Strange place to begin a message here on the book of Exodus, but I'm going to start off in Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, because what we're going to learn today, what God is, some part of his character, God is always faithful. He's always faithful to his people. It's part of his character. It's part of his nature. He is always faithful. Sometimes we may not think he's faithful, and we're going to see this in the life of the Israelites as he's leading them, and they're wondering, what in the world are you doing? I mean, how can you do this? God is always faithful. He may be leading you sometime. And you're going to be saying, whoa, how did I get here? You're going to feel like you're in the wilderness, boxed in on all sides, and you're thinking, I'm going to die doing this. But you're going to find out that God is always faithful. And so I'm taking you back in time, and I'm taking you here to Abram as he's getting the famous Abrahamic covenant, as God is making a covenant with Abram. And you can see it here in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. It says this. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Here we find in this promise. Now, if I kept on reading here, it would be the land area that was promised to Israel. You know, from the Mediterranean Sea to the River Jordan, all the way up, you know, to the Euphrates River, all the way down south to the River Nile in Egypt. And yet here, just as he's doing part of this covenant, God says, this is what I'm going to do. You have to understand Abraham's descendants, 400 years, actually a couple hundred years in the future here, his great-grandson, his name was Joseph, was taken out and he was sold into slavery into Egypt. And as he was sold into slavery, he began to emerge as a leader under Pharaoh, and then Israel came and lived with them. And this was Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, who did this, and Israel came, and they started dwelling in the land of Egypt, and they lived there 400 years. And 400 years, you know, and it says, here's this prophecy that was written 100 years before, saying that they will serve there, they will be judged, this nation will be judged, and then when Israel comes out, they will bring out great substance. Boy, I'll tell you what a marvelous prophecy we find here hundreds of years before it actually happened. Now let's go to the event. I just want you to fast forward then into time to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. When you get there, verse 35. As you know what happened when Moses then went into the land and he started standing before Pharaoh, let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And then the 10 plagues came upon the nation. And finally, when the 10th plague came, Pharaoh let the people go. But notice what it says here in verse 35. It says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed the Egyptians' jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. In other words, when they were getting ready to walk out of the land, they went to their neighbors, the Egyptian neighbors, and they gave them jewels and gold and other things that they had. And then when they exited the land, the people of Egypt were spoiled, and these people of Egypt, of Israel, they were walking out with great spoils and great wealth and substance. 400 years, hundreds of years, more than 400 years, hundreds of years before God had predicted this event to take place. You know, in fact, if this event took place, how much more that promised land for Israel It is Israel's land. I want you to drop down to verse 41 here of Exodus chapter 12. You can see something else about God's faithfulness. It says, and it came to pass at the end of 400 years and 30 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So we find here that God, as he's being brought, as he's bringing the people out, he's bringing them out. Now, they were this slaved group of people, and they're coming out now as an army of hosts, and they're coming out because of, as we can see, hundreds of years before, there was a covenant that was made because of God's covenant. He's going to bring them out. And not only that, they are a covenanted people because God chose them. Now, I want you to see something, because there's going to be some foreshadowing of how God is dealing with us today in Christ. But you need to understand, God by covenant brought the Jewish people out of Egypt. God by covenant, not only that, he made this host by his choice. Keep your finger here in Exodus. I just want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. It says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now notice, God chose Israel to do something unique. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon thee, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I want you to don't miss these points here. Not only was Israel chosen by God's faithfulness to come out, did you know by God's faithfulness he has chosen those that are in Christ? I mean, he has done some marvelous things. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world. Chosen. By covenant, we have the new covenant, and because of the new covenant, we have the promises that we're here as believers in Jesus Christ, and then not only chosen before the foundations of the world. And when we look back at Egypt, we're just looking at the foreshadowing of what's going to happen in Christ for us. A people that were coveted, a people that were chosen. Oh, there's something else that we can see. Remember the Jewish people when they came out, they were God's host by the blood of the Lamb. You know, what they had to do before the final plague came, they had to put the blood on the doorpost, and then they had to come under the blood. And then the death angel passed over, and because of the marvelous work that God did in the land, then this group of people, this host of God, then because of the precious blood that was there and passed over them, they were able to be delivered. I'll tell you what, isn't it any different? We have that covenant. We have been chosen. Because of the blood of the Lamb, and if you're under the blood of the Lamb, you have the forgiveness of sins. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 51. Exodus chapter 12, verse 51. It says, and it came to pass the selfsame day, in other words, the day of the Passover, the selfsame day, that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Did you know they came out by army? In fact, go to chapter 13, verse 18. I want you to see something about this army as they came out. They weren't this squad of people that were just ragtag team when they came out. They came out marching like an army. And they were called the hosts of God. But here in chapter 13, verse 18, there's an interesting word this here. It says, but God led the people about through the ways of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now, I'll tell you what the Hebrew word for harnessed is. By fives. In other words, they were marching by fives and like in columns as they were marching out. They were marching out as a mighty army. I find that fascinating to see by fives and in rank as they're going out. God's faithful. You know, he organized and did a unbelievable supernatural work with these people. And by the way, did you know he wants us to be a mighty army for him too, in the Lord Jesus Christ? To march in rank, to march in unity as the head of this assembly, the Lord Jesus Christ? No different. I want you to see another thing I found that was fascinating about God's faithfulness. I want you to go to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Speaking of the same time as the Jewish people are beginning to get ready, they're marching out. They had the 10th plague. They had the Passover and under the blood. And that night they started marching out. Psalm 105 verse 37 tells us of a miracle that you don't normally hear. Psalm 105 verse 37. He says, he, speaking of God, brought them forth also with silver and gold. But notice this promise. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Let me read that again. There was not one feeble person amongst their tribes. The Jewish people are marching out, and they've been servitude in the land. And now as they're marching, there's not one feeble person amongst them in their tribe. Now that's a miracle in itself. I mean, how many of us, if you had to move and you have your family and you're bringing the family, do you have not someone in your family that would slow you down because of feeble, because of some kind of physical impairment? And yet here we have a whole nation marching out, 600,000 men. That's just the men that are counted 20 years and above. And then we also have the children and the women that were there. About 3 million people are marching out. Not one feeble person amongst them that's going to slow them down. I'll tell you what, God was preparing these people. Do you understand when God calls us to a task and he's going to move us forward? He's always thinking ahead of all the things that may even slow us down. He makes the way. So if God's calling you to a task, let me tell you, and you're scared silly about stepping out, let me tell you, he will make the way even though you think, how are we going to do this? What about grandma? What about the kids? God will take care of all that. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I think I found another area of God's faithfulness. He wanted to remind the people of his mighty faithfulness. And by the way, he gave a symbol by way of one of the great patriarchs of the faith. His name was Joseph. Remember Joseph? He was Abraham's great-grandson when he went there to the land, second in command under Pharaoh. And when they buried him, he gave a command. Exodus 13, verse 19. Exodus 13, verse 19. It says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he, that's Joseph, has strictly warned the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. And ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. In other words, Joseph knew that some 400 years in his future, that the Jewish people are going to be coming out of the land of Egypt because of the promise that God had given 100 years or so before. He knew God would be faithful to that. And he says, now when you guys have to leave Egypt, some 400 years in the future, take my bones. Because I want to be buried in the promised land because God is faithful to his promises and there is a promised land and I want my bones there. So what they do, they go and they take the bones. Perhaps he was embalmed, whatever, and they're carrying him out and they're carrying him to the promised land. You know what that symbol was? It was a symbol to all the people as they look, oh, there's Joseph's bones. And the people weren't saying, well, that's gross. Some of them might have thought that. But it served as a reminder of Joseph's confidence in God's faithfulness. It also served as a reminder, listen, if we're taking the bones, we're not going to dump them in the desert. We're going to go. There is a promised land in the marching with Joseph's bones, because Joseph said 400 years in the future that's going to take place. Here's the bones. And it's going to be in that promised land. Because God is faithful to everything that he said. In fact, it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, you don't have to turn there. It says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. It's just a symbol of God's faithfulness. You know what? I know you don't have bones hanging around in your house. But you ought to have memories of things in your house of God answering prayer and showing his faithfulness. I'll tell you, all through our house, I was walking through the house as I was thinking about this, and I was looking at, and I told you, the pictures on the wall that were stolen, and then God replaced those things. And I was walking through, and when we came to Calvary Baptist Church, I can remember walking through the dining room, because we didn't have any furniture that filled the room at all. Nothing. And there was this hanging lamp that came down, you know. And if I wasn't careful, I'd walk in, I'd crash right into that lamp every time. I finally put a, because we didn't have furniture to fill the house. We had furniture for three rooms. You know, we had the bedrooms that were up there, and we had the kitchen, and we had a living room, and we had some just empty rooms. So I had to put a laundry basket in the middle of the dining room. So because I'm looking down instead of looking up here. I feel sorry. You guys that are tall, you know, you must have this when you're looking, walking through doors, you know. And I see the laundry basket and I'd walk around it so I wouldn't hit my head. And now I look, the furniture that's in our house, how God provided the dining room table. We didn't buy that. God gave it to us. We prayed. My wife prayed. Boy, that was her prayer. She was on hands and knees, and God provided sovereignly. And we look at all the other furniture that's there, the grandmother's clock, and God's faithfulness is everywhere. You ought to have stuff in your life. Just speaking of God's faithful answer to prayer and just coming around and dealing with things. If you don't have that, I'd be sad. I'd be concerned. God's faithful in every way that we can ever imagine. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 37. I found another place that he is faithful. In verse 37, it says, the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. About 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And so they left from Ramses. And by the way, just so you understand what, when the city of Ramses that they're in, it's the city of the sun. Is what it really means, because Ramsey, you know, Ra is the sun god of Egypt. And Ramsey, the pharaoh, was considered to be the son of Ra. It's Ramses, hence that's how you got the name, the son of Ra. And they built this city, and that's one of the cities that the Jewish people were to build, the city of the sun. And they're leaving this magnificent city, the system of world and the pagan world system. And they're marching out. And as they're marching, the first stop that they have is a place called Succoth. I know you probably wouldn't think much about it, but Succoth means tents. It's the place of tents. And I'll tell you what, when God called you and saved you, and God doesn't waste words when he writes his holy word. He doesn't waste a word. When he calls us out of this world system, and he calls us, and we become wanderers in this world and in this tent, knowing that one day there's going to be something better, that promised land that he's going to give us, and the holy promises that he gives, and we just follow him. In fact, there's some passages that speak of this in Hebrews. It says, for here have we no continuing city. In other words, we left this world, and I hope you've left this world. Little parentheses here. Because if you're a Christian and have one foot in the world and think you can live like the world and all the paganism and all the debauchery that's out there, think again. You have been bought with a price. Christ loved you so much that he shed his blood for you, and he called you out of this world, and he called you unto his own. In fact, that's why you're called the church, not a building. You are called the ecclesia, the called out ones. That means you are called out of this world, called unto the Lord Jesus Christ to live for him day by day. And so it goes and it speaks about this. And he says, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that's how we ought to be, like this sojourner through the wilderness, waiting for the great hope and promises that God has for us in the future. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13, verse 17, I want you to see another place that God was faithful to his people. Exodus 13, verse 17. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God's faithful guidance. You know, if you were to leave Egypt and you were to go to the promised land, you would keep close to the Mediterranean coast. And if you kept close to the Mediterranean coast, you know, you bypass all the wilderness, or a lot of the wilderness anyways, and you come up going through Gaza. That's where the Philistines were, and then into the promised land. In fact, Gaza is part of the promised land. And so that was the easiest, shortest route. And God says, no, you're not going to go the easiest route. Sometimes we look, oh, that's the easy way. Let me go the easy way. And God says, no, I don't want you to go the easy way, because, you know, if you go the easy way, you're going to face war. And if you face war, you're going to headtail it back to Egypt. And that's what he was telling them. He knew that Pharaoh would chase them and reach them out in the open plains. And God says, no way, you're not ready for warfare yet. God needs to do the fighting. And so, you know, God knows the best way to lead us, and he makes his way clear. In fact, it says the steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, and the good man then delights in his way. You know, the Holy Spirit guides us today. Sometimes he doesn't guide us the way that we think is the shortest way. Yet it says, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. How many of you have ever sensed the prompting of the Holy Spirit? I was thinking of Philip. I was doing some studying in the book of Acts. And Philip was out there, and he was in the city of Samaria. And he had a great evangelistic campaign that was going on in the city of Samaria. Many, many, many people were coming to know the Lord. And in the midst of this, as he was going through the Samaritan area, there the Holy Spirit says, Philip, I want you to go down to Gaza, which is go down south to Gaza, which is desert. There's nothing in that area. Barren land. He's having this prosperous ministry up in the northern part of Israel. Many people are getting saved. People are coming down the aisle wherever he is. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to go down to Gaza. And he probably says, Lord, what do you have in mind? I don't understand it. Did I hear you right? And yet he obeyed. And he went down there and he's just kind of hanging out in the Gaza Strip. Just kind of standing there in the middle of the probably 90, 100 degree heat. And all he sees is for trees, these little things and stone. And he says, what am I doing here? Ever been led by the Holy Spirit? And he leads you away and you say, what am I doing here? And then he sees some dust and a lot of dust there in the desert. He sees dust coming and he sees the chariot coming. And he sees this entourage around this one man in a chariot who is the Ethiopian eunuch. And God says, I want you to start running alongside that chariot, start talking to that guy. Hello? I mean, how many of you would do that? And he just obeyed. And he found the guy was reading from Isaiah 53. And he saw this guy running alongside. You understand this? You look Jewish, you know? And he says, yes, let me explain. And he stopped the chariot, took him on board. And the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. Do you understand? One person campaign. He baptized the guy, and he was gone. I don't know if God just snatched him and put him in another place, or if he came out of the water and walked to another place. Seems like from this text, he was just snatched in another place. But God sent him from a prosperous ministry to a desert for one man who started the Coptic Christian church. Amazing what God does. Have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit working? Have you ever been led? And you say, but Lord, that's not the shortest way. There's an easier way. And he says, no, no, I want you to go this way. I hope you know what it feels like to be prompted by the Holy Spirit. That means your life is yielded to God. We need to have lives yielded to God if we're going to do anything for him. But the Lord led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 13, verse 20. Notice, it's interesting. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham at the edge of the wilderness. Now, if you were to see, and I wish I had a picture. I should have done a picture. If you were to see the body of water that would come and that would reach out to the Red Sea, they were at the top and they were on the northern journey on the way up, the short route. That's where Etham is, at the top. And God's going to say, and you're going to see this passage in a minute, he says, I want you to return, go backwards, retrace your steps, and I want you to go to where the Red Sea is, where you're going to be boxed in. Now, that is an illogical move. If you're a military man, you'd say, that is crazy. Did I hear you right, Lord? We will die there. Because that's exactly what God said here. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they return, turn, and encamp before Pithah-Rithos, between Midot and the sea. And in other words, he says, I want you to backtrack, go around, go south, and then face the sea, and you're going to have another mountain on the other side. There's no place for retreat. Now, there were some reasons why God said this. One of the reasons he wanted to show his marvelous power. He wanted to show how powerful he was, what he can do. Dividing the Red Sea. Boy, that's one thing that's pretty powerful. He wanted to destroy Pharaoh so the enemy wouldn't be chasing him all the way through the wilderness, all the way up into the promised land. He wanted to bring them where they could receive his law and they could know that he's powerful and he could organize this marvelous nation. So he's leading them. And he's leading them to a place where he can test and prove them. Will you trust me? Can you imagine? You guys, Betty Ann, when we're on the road, she gives me exits. I don't know if your wife does this. She says, oh, it's exit 41, exit 32, exit whatever. I say, it's what? I have no idea what the exit numbers are. I know what it looks like. I know what it is. I know the name of the street. You know, we're more sight-oriented and everything. I know when I'm going north. I know when I'm going south. I know when I'm going east. I know when I'm going west. I can remember my sister. From 5 years old until I was 16, we went to my grandmother's house, which was only 5 miles away. We went the same way every time, every Thursday. Same way up, same way back. My sister gets her license. She couldn't find grandma's house to save her life. See, I'm so glad they have GPS. My sister does not get lost as much now with GPS. Notice I said as much. So you're a guy there, and all of a sudden you find we went one way, and we are heading east, northeast. And all of a sudden you're turning around, and you're heading west and south. And the back of your mind says, we're going into danger. We're repeating where we went. We're going backwards. We're going to hedge ourselves in. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped at Etham, the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way by night and a pillar of fire by day to give them light to go there. The cloud God gave them to lead them. He gave them a pillar of cloud by day, and it showed as fire by night. And it says that this cloud did a number of things. But I want you to note one of the things he did when he gave them the cloud. Go to Exodus chapter 13. You can see it here, verse 21. This is the passage I wanted you to see. It says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them by the way, by the night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Did they have the pillar of cloud before the Passover? No. He gave them the pillar of cloud after the Passover. After, you know, as they're, he's doing a marvelous work here. By the way, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? Before you were saved or when you got saved? When I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit. I did not have it before, but when I got saved, when I was delivered. Do you? There's some parallels that are going on here, because here we find the pillar of cloud all of a sudden now appears as they're being delivered. And they're beginning to see God now is guiding them where before he was not guiding them. Not only that, did the people ask for the cloud? I mean, here they are. They're sitting there at the Passover, and they're eating the meal, and Pharaoh says, go. Did the people say, oh, Lord, give us a cloud? No way. God's gracious gift was the cloud to guide them. Did you know God's gracious gift, when you got saved, he gives you the Holy Spirit, and it's a gift because he wants to guide you and to lead you? That's what he's doing. Just what he did here with these people. And not only that, the cloud was given to guide them, because in verse 21, in the latter part here of verse 21, it says, or the first part, it says, the Lord went before them day by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. God wants to lead you, but you know, a lot of times we want to drive. How many times have I... I get this with young couples, and I'll have the husband and the wife that are sitting there, and they're in counseling with us, and they're saying, I have such a hard time while we're driving, because my wife or my husband, and let me tell you, it goes either way. I have found sometimes the husband tells the wife as much what to drive as the husband. And says, we want to park in. And my wife will say, over there. No, you got to move over there. Or you're too far over in the road. And here we have this. I know this doesn't happen with any of you, you know, having, you know, a backseat driver or the. I can remember my grandmother. God rest her soul. She'd always say, Richard, Richard. Her name was Rose, you know. Richard, Richard, no, no, you can't. You're going too fast, Richard. Whoa, way too fast. You know, he's going 25 miles an hour. He'd slow down, you know. And I would never get anywhere with Richard and Rose. It felt like they were going so slow. When my other grandfather drove, he was like, oh, I'm hanging on because he's going fast. But not Richard and Rose. I mean, Rose is, oh, Richard. Well, I think a lot of people like that. You know, they want to tell the Holy Spirit where to go. They want to drive. We're supposed to be in the passenger seat. Let God lead, but listen. See, the cloud was given to guide Israel through the wilderness. In the same way, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead and work in your life. Oh, the cloud gave light. It says it in this passage here, because by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. In other words, not only it was light, but it was enough light that illuminated even in the evening. They had a little bit of light that was giving them cover so they'd be able to see where they were going. Does not the Holy Spirit give us light and truth and guidance? Do you understand? God showed us this. This is just pointing forward to real events. And he's showing us in real historical events exactly what he's doing right now in your life if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cloud gave them covering. It says in Psalm 105, he spread the cloud for a covering, because I'll tell you, if you're in the desert, it gets awful hot. It was their protector. And by the way, your protector is the Holy Spirit if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. When God spoke, he spoke through the cloud. It says, and it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked to Moses out of the cloud. Scripture says here, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He wants to speak to us. The cloud was darkness to the Egyptians. If you read later on, and we'll be looking at this another message, but you'll see this cloud was there. And the Israelites had the light on one side and the Egyptians on the other side. It was darkness. You know what that's telling us? The world has no knowledge of what you can understand by the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The cloud rested upon the tabernacle as soon as it was erected. Well, I wonder what that meant. Because the very second that you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The cloud was never taken away during the wilderness wanderings because it says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them, and neither does the Holy Spirit depart from those that are in Christ. Do you understand God's faithfulness? This whole passage, and I haven't even got to the dividing of the Red Sea. God is faithful to his people. Now, maybe you're here today and you haven't seen these things happening in your life. My question then is, are you one of his children? By the way, he wants you to be his children. He doesn't want to leave anyone behind. And he's merciful during this time. And he brings conviction. And he gives illumination. He draws. So that you might be able to understand the marvelous message. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't resist him. If he says, come to Christ. He's going to point you to Christ. That's his whole work. He's going to point you to Christ. He's going to point you to the Savior. He's going to point you to the Holy One of God. The Anointed One. That he wants you to have an eternal relationship with him. Because he died for your sins. That you might have everlasting life. Do you know the Lord? Because when you do that, then all these things shall be added unto you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I know we've been gleaning here from Exodus just the events of taking your precious people out of Egypt and out of bondage and delivering them to that promised land. And Father, how grateful we are that even in our day, we have this graphic illustration in history showing exactly what is taking place in Christ in our lives and how he has so graciously given to his own the Comforter. And I pray that if there's someone here who does not know your precious Son, Father, I pray that your Spirit will point them to him. That you'll convict them, that they'll see their need, that they're sinners and that you died for their sins, that they might have everlasting life. And that they'll bow their head and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my life and save me, wash me from my sins, that I might be a child of God. And that you'll do just as you did with the Israeli people, that you'll give them your Spirit. That you'll give them guidance, that you'll make them your child. But it will be a child in Christ. Father, I pray that you'll move in a marvelous way. And maybe as here we have believers struggling, maybe wondering what you're doing, may they remember your faithfulness. Maybe some need to come and say, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Others may need to come and say, help me, Lord. I know you're faithful. I'm just struggling. But I pray that you'll move and work as we sing, I Surrender All. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.